A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when I recall my mother's deathbed, some 20 years ago, two emotions fill my memory: helplessness and helpfulness. Helplessness, because God was calling Mom. He was in control, not me. Helpfulness, because Mom was thirsty. The only way I could love her was to raise her head and give her a drink of water. These same two emotions strike me as I think about the cross. The scene, as Jesus cries, "I thirst," is one of utter tragedy, a painful blend of fate and futility. His thirst summarizes his journey: beatings, blistering heat, bearing the cross, bloodletting. "I thirst." Jesus himself is helpless as he seeks to fulfill his sacred destiny. "I thirst." The Father is helpless in undoing the murderous actions of a sinful world. "I thirst." Mary too is helpless. She cannot offer her son a simple drink of water, a loving and parting gift to seal her undying love. "I thirst." Psalm 22 tells us that indeed scripture has been fulfilled. "My tongue sticks to my palate. You lay me in the dust of death." There is little helpfulness here, unless you and I deign to ask forgiveness for our sins and to promise not to sin again. Brothers and sisters, on this Good Friday, we suffer with Christ, as Christ has so often suffered with us. However, the suffering of "I thirst" now blends with the hope of "I thirst." Surely, as we thirst for truth and goodness in this world, and for the beatific vision in the next world, Jesus similarly thirsts for reunion with his Father. His mission is nearly complete, and he dreams of rejoining his Trinitarian family. He thirst. We thirst. He hopes. We hope. Here, thirst becomes hope. For all who believe in Jesus, we are told, will never thirst. When Jesus invokes, "I thirst," I now imagine him uttering Psalm 63 under his breath. Let's join him. O God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you, like a dry, weary land without water. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy.